section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A great X Division match, Michael Elgin news, and Night of Champions is this Sunday. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So let's talk about Michael Elgin. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so this is something we didn't have time last week, unfortunately, to kind of go over all the facts. But the nice thing is, or I guess not nice thing, is that more stuff happened this past week. So first things first, Michael Elgin is no longer the Ring of Honor champion, and he lost that title to Jay Briscoe, who is now the second ever two-time Ring of Honor champion. The storyline they're going to have going on there will be interesting. We're going to talk about that at a later date, because Ring of Honor is really the type of thing that you talk about as a whole as opposed to just each individual week. But back to Elgin. So he held the title for 76 days and lost it to Briscoe. And one of the reasons why is there were a lot of reasons, but let's start off with one of them. He didn't fill out paperwork for his visa, so he couldn't get back into the U.S. Ring of Honor is a U.S.-based company, which means that they couldn't have their champion wrestling for him. Let me ask you, what are your thoughts on that one?
You know, this could be something that, you know, he messed up on, which, well, no matter how we look at it, that's what it is. But sometimes it's just an oversight. You forget about little things like this. But these little things become major because he's stuck in Canada. He doesn't have – they were saying that he only had the clothes that he had with him. And, in fact, he was going to another show. And believe it or not, he left his stuff in Cleveland because he was going to come back. Because he went – I guess he went back over to this, over the border. Well, all the stuff was still down there. So he had basically a shell of his equipment and also clothes. He bought a house in St. Louis. And he has two dogs with his wife, which is, what's her name? Mischief? Sorry?
Who cares?
So he can't go see her. And they said best case scenario is 90 days. And now they're saying it may not be till next year. So he's stuck there, which really sucks. So he's been going to Ontario to wrestle at indie shows because he can't go anywhere. He's stuck in Canada. You know, I hope that he's able to get his visa stuff cleared up so he can come back to the States, because he said he has two mortgages that he's paying on and he can't live at those places, which really stinks for him.
Yeah. And I agree with your assertion. You know, it might have been an oversight. I really think, though, that that's something that, you know, is a, you know, that's a big thing that you try not to oversee. So there's that. There was a thing that I guess he had said in passing that he wants to play baseball. This is something I think that it's kind of grasping at straws here, because you know what? I want to be a professional wrestler. I'm obviously not going to be. I'm a little too old for doing that right now, because, you know, I didn't start when I was 18. So, you know, I think it's kind of a similar situation here. I think that that's, you know, somebody kind of blowing it out of proportion. I assume you probably feel the same.
Yeah, I guess, like, the whole thing with the baseball, I think it's just a dream he was going to try. And realistically, a lot of baseball players, even when they're like 22 and they go into the minor leagues, they're there until like they're 26, which is about Elgin's age. So, he's already far behind. He played in high school. He played a little bit in college, but wrestling has been his number one thing. And, you know, baseball could get him a bunch of money, but I think it's a long shot.
It's a big long shot. But, let's talk about the biggest one, which was that, and I think this is what the nail in the coffin was. He, as Ring of Honor champion, was going to indie shows, wrestling there as the Ring of Honor champion, and losing to local talent. And I think that is what really made Ring of Honor go,
That's right.
Champions don't lose.
That's right, because he went to PWG and lost to someone he shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And he should have been over on that. And, you know, I don't know if you blame PWG on this or if you blame Elgin. I mean, realistically. But it also kind of stinks because that storyline, he was there, you know, like everyone, he was the underdog. He became champion. And then it's like, oh, we're going to give it to Briscoe. And I think that, and they said that it was only a few hours before the show started. That's when they like, listen, we're going to have to do this because if you can come back to the States and wrestle as our champion, we're going to have to strip you. So let's just knock it out. And here's the other thing on that pay-per-view. That was they had seven matches and that was number six. So it wasn't even the last match, which I thought was really weird. But, you know, I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Really?
Yeah. And here's the other thing also, you know, getting away from this real quick. With TNA, what they've been doing lately is that they're actually giving pay per appearance deals for people because they don't know if they're going to have a TV deal because no one knows what's going to happen. I mean, that to me is huge. And plus,
I don't know if that's huge. I actually think that it's good for them, to be honest, because there's definitely, you know, people that can be a draw, but you may not want to use them all the time, or maybe you only want to use them, you know, every couple of weeks. You know, that somebody like a Bully Ray, for example, who I think is you know, really reinvented himself in TNA. He's not somebody that needs to be on every week. You can have him every other week and people will still tune in and they'll be very happy to see him.
Yeah. Now, do you think, you know, right now Vince Russo had some words with the head of TNA, and I will agree TNA has, or with Spike TV, my bad. And Spike TV realistically has not been promoting TNA at all.
No.
I mean, I rarely watch Spike TV, but you think if that's one of your big draws, you'd have commercials saying Impact this Wednesday. They only did online ads saying, hey, we're switching to Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that WWE strong-armed them to go to Wednesday because they said they're going to put SmackDown on Thursday and then they went back to Friday?
You know, I still think it was a smart move. You know, I think that having a Thursday Night Football, especially on CBS, really makes it tough. And so I think it was a smart move, even still, even without WWE being there. But Spike TV, look, let's be honest here. Spike TV sucks. Like, there's nothing on there to watch. I don't know if you really turned it on lately, but
not really.
There's nothing. They have almost no original programming that's on there. You know, it's the channel for guys. And the most manly stuff on there is TNA and then Bellator MMA. I'm not an MMA guy personally. There are some people who probably are really into it. I'm not. So for me, it's like, who cares? That means that the rest of the stuff is Cops. Like, I'm sorry, but like, it's Cops. I'm not going to tune in to watch Cops. So Spike TV, if they really wanted to be relevant, they could say, you know what? We're going to advertise TNA. And we're actually going to say, guess what, guys? You want to see some really great wrestling? You want to see some good storylines? Tune in. And that's the best way you can fix that. You can then ask, hey, what about MTV? Can you guys go ahead and you know, maybe promote the show a little bit and really help out our ratings? And that's all you really need to do. I guarantee you, if they did a week-long blast on all the Viacom networks saying you can watch TNA here, I guarantee you, you could at least do 1.5 times as many as you've been doing, if not double.
Yeah, I just... The other thing also, I want, like I brought up the whole thing with Vince Russo. Do you believe that that's actually an angle that they were trying to do? Because like when they announced that TNA is not going to be on Spike TV, it was everywhere. And then now the president of Spike comes back after saying Vince Russo basically said, hey, you guys didn't promote him at all, which is true. But do you think that they were trying to turn that maybe into an angle and that's what this...
No, I don't think it was trying to be turned into an angle. I think it gave him some publicity, which was kind of nice. It's actually probably the most publicity Spike has given TNA in a long time. So,
it's just really weird. But I believe that WWE strong-armed them to go to Wednesday night. But, you know, speaking of the WWE, why do you think that Cena has been booked so strong recently? I think we speculated once that the shareholders said they want Cena to be above because when Cena is the main guy and when he's champion, there's some you know, like stats on that where it like merchandise sales goes up when and if that goes up, then of course, you know, if merchandise goes up, of course their stock's gonna go up. Do you believe that's why they're gonna maybe even have Cena become the champion on Sunday?
I do not see Cena winning this Sunday. I do think that they've been doing a pretty good job of booking him pretty strongly. you know, his match at SummerSlam. Honestly, I think it was a mistake to have him lose in the way that he did. I think that he had just some of the worst offense that it, you know, they talked about how maybe that was supposed to be Daniel Bryan and he was supposed to get the crap kicked down by Lesnar. I actually would have been totally okay with that because, you know what? Daniel Bryan's a smaller guy. A monster like Lesnar comes in, beats the crap out of him. I'm okay with. Cena's a little bit bigger of a guy, though. Cena and Lesnar could have a nice little you know, match there. They've been booking Cena a little bit stronger, and so it's a little bit more believable that Cena could win. However, I have Lesnar winning this easily.
At one point, do you pull the trigger on Seth Rollins? I mean, that's the other thing you got to look at, because
we've talked about this in the past, and it's going to be WrestleMania.
Okay, so it's going to be WrestleMania, because here's the weird part. They actually had Rollins and Reigns wrestle on free TV, your go home show. You're like, you know, this is supposed to be, to me, this is almost a WrestleMania match. You have Rollins versus Reigns. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, I know that, you know, with Ambrose, you know, possibly coming back at Nine Champions, that's it. And see, here's the other thing. It'd be kind of interesting if Rollins tries to, like, Cena wins and Rollins tries to cash in, but Ambrose causes him to lose.
So
that would be intriguing.
It would. Let's talk about Reigns and Rollins. So they are going to wrestle here at Night of Champions. Yet for whatever reason, they said, you know what, guys, we're going to have you guys wrestle singles match one on one. No interference. No, DQ. We had Rollins or Reigns actually win that match without any issue. And now you guys are going to wrestle again at the pay-per-view. Remind me why they're even wrestling at the pay-per-view. Didn't they just finish their business on Monday? So what's the point of this match? This is one of the worst booking decisions I think I have ever seen.
Now, are you glad that you're not buying pay-per-views anymore and you're just paying $9.99 for the network?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. So my subscription came up and I chose not to renew it.
Really? So you don't have the WWE Network anymore?
I don't have it. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, do I even really want to see the pay-per-view? This is a pay-per-view I would skip. I'm going to flat out say that. I would not watch this pay-per-view. And the only reason I'm going to see it is because I'm going to go to a friend's house who has the network. And so we're going to watch it there. And then I'm going to renew my subscription later on in the month because that way it's going to last until WrestleMania. So that's what my plan is.
Ah, smart move.
But nonetheless, this still, like, it just made me go, you know, if you, even for $10, like, they don't even have my $10 for this. They're not going to have my $10 because it's not worth it to me. I don't understand the booking decisions. The card itself, honestly, is horrible. It's all rematches. And I don't know if there's even a single new match that's really on there. And that's the problem. I think that's the biggest issue. You know, and they also, another match that they took off basically Night of Champions was going to be Swagger and Bo Dallas. It was given away on free TV without any buildup to it. They didn't say, oh, and you know what? Next week, I'm going to take you on. It was like, oh, these two are wrestling? Can you give me some backstory? Can we hype this up a little bit? Instead, they just casually had it on there. I'm really dumbfounded by the booking of WWE right now. But I don't know if you feel the same
but
way.
I do feel the same way, but I also think that they're like, you know what? If you already have the network, it doesn't matter because you're going to get the pay-per-view anyways. So let's try and get people to sub it because this match was so good. But realistically, I guess how I look at it is that I think this is a big mistake, this whole thing. They should never have the match that you're going to see on Sunday. You don't have it on Monday. I mean, because the matches are going to be much different. I mean, have them wrestle at house shows. That's what those things are for you to get acquainted for that guy and then have a good match at the pay-per-view. They're not even doing that. You know, at what point, Aaron, should we actually bring back the brands? So you have your SmackDown and you have a Raw brand, and then you have this Raw pay-per-view, and then you have a SmackDown pay-per-view. When's the point that we're going to do that?
You got to have a deep enough talent pool to do so. And that's the biggest problem, is that they don't have a deep enough talent pool. And let me say this. I'm totally okay with having feuds on Raws and SmackDowns. I actually think it's a really good idea. In fact, Swagger and Dallas, I'm okay with them culminating their feud on a Raw or SmackDown. I really am. But here's how you do it. You know what, Swagger? Next week on Raw, you and me, one-on-one. And then, okay, bring it on. And then you hype it on SmackDown a little bit. And then on Raw, you have it be kind of your second hour main event. And that's how you can do it. And it's okay to have those matches because, you know what, that's a feud that doesn't have to be a pay-per-view worthy feud. But Rollins and Reigns, that's the one that, you know, we just had a Rollins and Ambrose take each other on, which was a really good feud that they had for a little while. It was a really great match at the pay-per-view. And you're going to have Reigns, who is the next man in line, who is going to take on Rollins, and you do it on free TV, and you don't have any trickery. You don't even really announce it beforehand. Instead, you just randomly have it. And I think every single wrestling fan was scratching their heads going, what is going on here? And that's the thing. I almost wonder if WWE, because the past, let me just, you know, I'm going on a rant. I apologize. Right. The past four Raws have been terrible. They have just been horrible. And so I almost wonder if they, at this one, they were like, oh, look, who cares about this? Let's just worry about the pay-per-view.
That might be the case. You know, speaking of Swagger, one thing that really still irks me is that he should be the first person to beat Rusev. But you're going to have Rusev take on Henry on Sunday. Now, I do like the feud that they're starting to do with this, but I know where this is going. You're going to have Cena versus Rusev, and Cena's going to be the first guy to beat him. And I believe
you don't think that Henry will beat him on Sunday.
No, they're not. I can almost guarantee you that will not happen. And I find that ridiculous because Swagger should have beat him. There's no way to explain it. He should have put him in the ankle lock and then had something where Rusev passed out or something like that, or have something, you know, weird happen. Then you can say Swagger beat him, was the first guy to beat him. But realistically, I mean, Mark Henry, I believe, should beat him. But you already know that he's not going to, and I'm almost guaranteeing that Cena's going to take on Rusev here. So,
and I think that you're correct. I think that, you know, of course, Swagger, you're obviously correct. No issues there. Henry, I think they've booked this strong enough that you believe that Henry will win. I agree. I think that Rusev will win on Sunday. We're probably going to get another match, maybe at Hell in a Cell between these two, and then they'll call it quits. I think that Henry should get a win here at some point in time. But then again, I also said same thing for Swagger, and they won't. So Rusev, though, I do want to give some props because I think that they have actually built him up properly, even though he is on an undefeated streak, which I know I hate those, or everybody knows I hate those. I do think they've done a pretty good job building him up, and he is actually a really good wrestler. He's great at selling. That's something that I got to give him a ton of props for. He hits somebody, he'll grab his hand and clinch it and be like, oh, that actually hurt my hand. You know, Swagger, when he put him in the ankle lock, he was having issues putting on the accolade, you know, onto Swagger. So he is actually a really good wrestler and really great storyteller in the ring. Got to give him massive props there.
Now, speaking of that, someone who's really good in the ring and their size, what's going on with Big E right now? Big E is actually really good in the ring, and he can sell. And now you don't see him. It's like he's an afterthought. I mean, he was
Well, who would you rather build up, Big E or Rusev? You know,
I mean, Rusev right now, because you had the controversy, and especially since the whole thing with Putin. But man, see, this is the part that, you know, really irks me, is that you have a former NXT champion. Of course, you have Bo Dallas, whatever. But then you have Big E, who actually, I believe, is someone big. Like, he's bigger than life. Like, when you look at Big Show, Big Show is just big. But Big Show can wrestle, but so can Big E. So
the thing is, you're a much bigger Big E fan than I am.
I'm a huge Big E fan.
I was never a big fan of his.
Dude, I think he's underrated. He's one of the most underrated superstars on the roster right now.
I think him with Ziggler worked out, but honestly, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of his.
What do you think about Sami Zayn being the bunny?
I think that could be pretty funny. I know that it was rumored to be Darren Young, which I think would be a much better thing to do, but I think it would be pretty funny with him.
Well, it is Sami Zayn. That's the one thing we can do, because I actually watched, because the way that he moves in the ring and how he sells, it's exactly like Sami Zayn. And then someone actually said that, hey, it is Sami Zayn underneath the bunny costume. which is funny. But when you watch it, the bunny again, you'll see that that is Sami Zayn, which I still find hilarious that he's the one doing the bunny because everyone thought it was Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, speaking, you know, we talked about Big Show earlier. Now, he's going to be feuding with the Wyatts. I think Bray is unbelievable. I think he's one of the best talkers in the business right now. Like, I think Bully Ray is up there, but I think he's above Bully Ray. He's so passionate in the way he says things. That is one of the best characters they've done. But are you going to be excited to see this match?
I think that it could be pretty good. They did wrestle on Raw. But it was, of course, interrupted, which is totally fine. They've actually done a pretty good job here with Big Show and with Mark Henry because they have been intertwined. So those two were a tag team going up against the Wyatts. And then Bray started going after Big Show a little bit. And at the same time, Rusev was going after Mark Henry. So it was a really good intertwining of those feuds. Big props to whoever was doing the writing for that group. Big Show and Bray Wyatt is actually going to probably help out Bray Wyatt quite a bit here. Bray Wyatt has lost some big matches. He's lost one to Chris Jericho. He's lost one to John Cena. He can lose to Big Show and not actually have it hurt him. But a win over the Big Show will really help him and really help elevate him up. And I think that this is a great opportunity here to have him get a win over Big Show and do it convincingly. Big Show can get a win right afterwards, but have Bray Wyatt get the first win.
Do you have Big Show lose then on free TV on Raw the following night?
I think you can have him lose on free TV. You can have him lose at the pay-per-view too.
I think the pay-per-view, if you have Big Show lose at the pay-per-view, I think it's going to hurt Bray. But if Bray wins, everything changes. In fact, you'll be actually kind of cool as if Big Show joins the Wyatts.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
You'll have Big Show Wyatt. Get it? Big Show, wow. Riot. Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free sampler, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo and see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big from items at WWEShop.com. And by the way, there's no more CM Punk stuff. So let's talk about Impact Wrestling for this week. We had James Storm. He recruits Manic for his table. Now, here's my question for you. Are you kind of intrigued with the whole James Storm storyline right now?
Yeah, I am. It was something the first go round of it, I actually did not care for it. I like James Storm, but I just felt that the storyline, it wasn't making any sense. But I like Sonata. I actually think that he is quite talented. And then he went and recruited Manic. We're going to see here. It's going to culminate at Bound for Glory. And it's going to be kind of cool to see. I think that Storm is very talented, and I actually think that the storyline they have him in is intriguing. So kudos to TNA.
Yeah, I will say this is probably one of the more exciting things that happened in TNA. And James Storm, I always thought he was going to be way above Bobby Roode, and he's kind of just there right now. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I do like James, like I said earlier, James Storm, this thing that they're doing, the stable is awesome. I'm just wondering what they're going to call themselves because it can't be Beer Money.
Well, I guess you got Manic and Sonata, so I don't know what would you say, like the Masked Drunks? I don't know.
That's true. So the Wolves win the third tag title match. Are they going to finish this at Bound for Glory?
Yeah, it looks like that's what it's going to be. Of course, the Wolves, they suffered a small setback a couple months ago where one of them had broke their leg, nasty injury. It was actually kind of good timing, though, because they had wrestled so much and that they had taped so many things. They actually gave them time to heal then. So it looks like we're going to have at the pay-per-view, their big one of the year, we're going to have the Wolves versus Team 3D versus the Hardys and winner take all tag match.
Probably the last show that they're going to do, unfortunately.
You think so?
If they don't have a TV deal by Bound for Glory, it's done. I just think that if you do not go there and say, we have a TV deal in the United States on Velocity or whatever, whoever else, HGTV, whoever said that they'll promote them, you know, I guess that's the thing. Where do you put them? ESPN Classic? I don't know. Hopefully, I just hope that they're still around. As much as I sit there and make fun of them, my prediction was that they'd still be around. I really hope they are, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But the one thing that I am really excited about was that Bobby Roode took on Bobby Lashley. What were your thoughts?
I was actually a little disappointed that this was also on free TV. It's, you know, just like I was given WWE crap. I think, you know, we don't know what's going to happen at Bound for Glory. They're not doing the standings this year. Roode looks like he's going to be the guy who will take on the champion. So why even have this match on free TV? Why not tease it just a little bit more? And I think that's the issue that I have with this. Yes, I understand there was a lot of interference that was involved with it, but I think that this is one that you hold back. You don't have this. You don't even tease it. Instead, you just have a long buildup, because you know what? I actually think that if they would have held this back and had a longer buildup at Bound for Glory, I think that that's something that I'm like, I'm buying this pay-per-view only for that match. The rest is just icing on the cake.
But the thing is, this was a pay-per-view. It was No Surrender.
It's not a real pay-per-view.
I know it's not a real pay-per-view, but in order to have the deals that they have with certain companies or TV providers elsewhere, they have to call it a pay-per-view. So this was considered No Surrender, which realistically, maybe this is surrender everything. I don't know. Now, just you know, real quick for the weekly topic, did you watch NXT? Oh, I guess you haven't watched NXT TakeOver, have you?
I did not. I only saw the outcome.
I will say it was awesome. The stream for me, I only had two pauses, and once where it went to standard def. But other than that, the show was pretty good. I will say that, especially for this is considered, you know, the minor league of WWE. Realistically, I was really entertained with this show. It made me laugh. I was the matches. I didn't have to fast forward through the matches. Thank goodness. And when they had the hair versus hair match, I thought it was hilarious because what's his face didn't lose his hair. And his friend did, of course. And he also lost his eyebrows, which was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, you know, I will definitely watch it because it looked like it was very entertaining. You know, after seeing the outcomes, you know, it's something that I'm interested in seeing. I like NXT, and that's one of the things that I am missing since I don't have the network currently. But of course, I'm going to subscribe here in the next couple weeks, or resubscribe, I should say. NXT is definitely the breath of fresh air that I wish WWE was. And, you know, the more and more I've been thinking about it, and, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I feel like I have in this episode, but I really feel that the 3 hours is exhausting. And I feel that the 3 hour Raws are just hurting the product more and more, because I got to tell you, man, I watched it on Tuesday night, and I probably watched an hour of the show, and that's not the way it should be, you know?
Right. Now, you know, you said NXT is a breath of fresh air. At what point do you bring Sami Zayn up?
I think that they need to do it soon. They tested the waters with him and Adrian Neville. I think both of them should be on the main roster, and I think that both of them could actually do wonders there. The problem is you need to actually have compelling storylines, and they haven't been doing that. You know, Bo Dallas, when they brought him up, and I actually think that Bo is talented, and he's somebody that I think has long legs in WWE. Bo Dallas was brought up, and he wasn't feuding with anybody. They just had him up there. That's it. And then they threw him together in a feud with Jack Swagger, which actually has been pretty decent, but they haven't done anything else with him. You know, and that's it. And before that, you had Adam Rose, who had a feud with Swagger. And Adam Rose has gone absolutely nowhere. And there's a reason for that. It's because they don't have anything for them. It's creative doesn't have anything for you. So what you need to do is you need to have a roadmap for Sami Zayn, because if you just bring him up, guess what? He's going to falter. He's going to be the next Zack Ryder, and you don't want that.
Wow, Zack Ryder. That is true. Poor Zack Ryder. I miss him so much when he was, you know, up there. But yeah, so anyway, so NXT definitely, you know, like you said, a breath of fresh air. And I guess when you have one writer doing it all, I mean, I think that's what helps, but it's also only 1 hour. It's not 3 hours or 2 hours and 20 minutes when you fast forward all through all the commercials.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.